Welcome to another self-referential episode of the Atomic Heart Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jim. This week we read Deadpool: Dark Reign by Daniel Way, and now the cast has to begin. Welcome to another self-referential episode of the Atomic Heart Supercast with your host, Andrew Fish.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another volcanic episode of the Atomic Heart Supercast. It's entirely unrelated, it's fine. This week we read Deadpool, Dark Reign. It's issues 6 and 7, and then 10, 11, and 12.
Right. Deadpool? That's if you get the trade.
If you get the trade, yeah.
Because issues 8 and 9 cross over with Thunderbolts.
Ah. Okay.
And I don't know which issues of Thunderbolts. I almost said episodes again.
That's okay, that happens. So anyway, Amanda and I hang out with David.
Hey.
And Jen.
Yo.
So, second round of Deadpool.
Yes.
Yep.
What did you guys think of this one?
It was entertaining. Especially issues. I keep wanting to say episodes. This is going to be a problem this whole episode. I know it. So 10, 11, 12 are particularly funny because we have Bullseye as Hawkeye and they do funny things.
Yeah, I don't know, but I like the first two issues with Hydra Bob and Tiger Shark.
I feel like Hydra Bob's the only redeeming thing in the first two issues.
But Tiger Shark's like so over the top villainous.
He's so stupid.
He is.
He's so stupid.
I think I was just endeared to Tiger Shark with the one frame where it's set behind him, like Malibu style, like 80s.
Yeah.
It looks like, fuck, what's the video game? Grand Theft Auto, Vice City. It looks like Tiger Shark in Vice City. And I love it.
Well, he's kind of funny too because I feel like he represents a type of villain that we don't really get anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just a guy who has acquired the powers of one particular animal and just decides to be named that animal.
Yeah.
And it's really specific. Tiger Shark. It's not just Shark.
It's not just Shark. He's not Shark Man.
Well, but like there's the Wonder Woman villain Cheetah, right?
Yeah. It could be like Leopard Cheetah. That's not a kind of cheetah. No. That's two different kinds
of... No, that doesn't really work. Yeah, the leopard is a different cat.
Yeah, yeah. there's kinds of cheetahs.
But you know what I mean, right? Yeah. It's like now we get people like let me try to think of somebody like, well, what's a villain that's not named after an animal?
The only one I can think of is Killer Croc, and that's not helpful.
Yeah. don't go to Spider-Man at all for this. They're all animal.
Or
bunch of savages. Who's... Captain Cold has nothing to do with animals.
Captain Nazi.
Nazis.
I guess that's not what I meant to say. It's like it's not a
Gorilla
villain.
Grodd? No, he is a monkey.
Like a villain whose name doesn't really have an obvious correlation with their power set.
Catwoman?
Morgan Lugas. Any of the fuckers from Super God are
up. Like Dr. Doom, for example. Like, he's kind of got a classic villain name because it's just like Doom, but he doesn't like shoot Doom out of his hands or something.
He doesn't have Doom powers.
Yeah. He doesn't. I guess that's what I was trying to get at. Like characters like Cheetah or
Some of them are really
or Killer Croc.
What's the phrase? On the nose.
That's great.
Like Bullseye is really on the nose.
Heyo.
It's really campy too, because I mean, it was only in like the Silver Age of comics that we got all this bullshit with like, I don't know, Catman. Catman's so stupid. But that's going back to a previous comic.
Like, one of my favorites, like, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I figure we could talk about, like, character names a little bit. Like, one of my favorites, I've never really read much JSA, but I love Hourman.
Yes! That's my favorite character name of all time.
Because he takes a pill and he has powers for 1 hour.
And then the pill wears off. The pill's called Miracle. But I've always loved that name because it's like, he has his weakness right in the name. Right? It'd be because he just says, I'm our man. I'm only this man for an hour. So if you can last an hour against me, you can probably beat the living shit out of me. It's like if Superman named himself Kryptonite Boy.
He's just a guy who takes Viagra.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If for some reason the pill lasts for 4 hours, he has to see a doctor.
Actually, it's addictive, to be fair. Miracle is addictive.
Oh, okay.
Because you want to be strong all the time.
Oh, God.
But I think that...
Yeah, I mean...
That's the most on-the-nose name of
yes,
all.
Yes, it is.
It fits with, like, the really goofy character names, like Bullseye and Tiger Shark, fit with the Deadpool
and the whole wackiness and everything. Yeah,
because I mean, it's not really. It's made to be narrative nonsense, basically. And the dumber and campier and more purple the prose, the more Deadpool it actually becomes. It's like, that's the goal.
So then when you bring in like the bumbling sidekick with Hydra Bob, like, you have to make him really wacky.
Yeah.
I mean, you straight up have to pull Arthur out of your butt.
Yeah, he's basically, that's a good point.
Dick and Arthur, yeah.
He's like Arthur from the Dick, and he's probably the most normal person in this whole comic. Like, he's just a regular person. He's intimidated by Tiger Shark because he's a giant shark. He's Deadpool's friend, but he knows Deadpool's messed up.
Crazy. And, yeah, I think if you read these issues, he's the only person in here who does things that the same, that like I would do in that same situation.
Like even the bystanders, right? We get the part with the pizza delivery man where
oh yeah, the yeah. pizza delivery boy, and then the old guy,
and the old guy is like, oh, you deserve that.
Yeah. And that's like, what? Come on, that's yeah. fucked up. It's like, you, a dude just got murdered in your house, and you're like, well, you deserved it.
I can think of something that he would have said, given the information we were given, that he would deserve. Like, what would he possibly have been able to have said about his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
That merited him getting murdered. Because she could always just move.
Ruined her life, Andy.
Ruined her life in this area where people know her. She could move to fucking Bangladesh or some shit and she'd be fine.
But that guy's life was only worth, like, what, $500?
That's true. Yeah. I'm Craigslist. That's the best part.
But yeah, this comic is just... It's weird that Hydra Bob is the small island of normalcy in this whole comic.
Yeah, next Hydra agent. And he's doing it just because he's got, like, a wife and kids, and he needs to make a... needs to pay the mortgage.
Hydra is his job.
Yeah.
He doesn't think he's, like, a supervillain, necessarily. I don't think he's, like, some kind of new school Nazi-type person, which is kind of what Hydra is, right?
Yeah, he just doesn't care, and he's like, well, pays the bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes him lovable, though. I mean, he's not a campy villain. He's just some goofy dude who got mixed up in this whole situation. And I don't know why he trusts Deadpool. Like, he trusts Deadpool way more than anyone should.
Hydra Bob, this isn't, like, his first appearance. Like, I don't really know his background that well, but I'm sure something happened back in the day that endeared him to Deadpool.
Well, I mean, I know Deadpool's crazy and everything, but if I knew that Deadpool trusted me even a little bit, or had my back even a little bit, which you can never really rely on, but, like, Deadpool seems like a relatively reliable guy. I mean, he's wacky, and he won't get things done the way you want them done, and there's probably going to be casualties along the way and collateral damage. But the angle will get achieved.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
and if the angle for Deadpool is Hydra Bob is alive.
But, like, how maimed is Hydra Bob going to be at the end of this? That's really the question.
Well, to be fair, all the maiming that happened here he deserved. Hydra Bob turns his back on. It's cool, bro. Give me a high five. Yeah, get it up there. Bam. Shot through the hand.
Deadpool's such a dick.
That was awesome. That's not a dick move. That he deserved.
Yeah, but it's still dickish to shoot someone in the hand.
Yeah, especially if you lull them into a false sense of security.
Yeah, like, if you just do it like, oh, I'm gonna shoot you because I'm angry. Yeah, but he's like, yeah, we're bros still, and then he shoots him. No, it's messed up.
He could have been like, put your hand in the air, and then shot
him. You just don't care?
What?
So what were some of you guys' like favorite scenes from this, or favorite panel even?
I got the meat suit.
Yeah.
That was my reaction, and I love it. It makes no fucking sense, and it's disgusting.
Well, it was kind of like armor for him, right? Like, yeah. he was protecting himself from getting
kind of
whatever Hawk Bullseye does.
I'm pretty certain.
Hawkbull. We'll call him Hawkbull.
Hawkbull. Yeah, more animal names. I'm down.
I'm pretty certain that, you know, if bullets can pierce your flesh, then they can also pierce pig flesh.
But it's frozen.
And they're arrows.
Makes it harder.
Okay, arrows. But
never mind that Bullseye has precision accuracy and can just shoot between the hunks of flesh that Deadpool has hung off of him.
Deadpool has a this little-known superpower where his insanity just clouds people.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't have that. But part of the thing is, too, it's like it's not obvious at first, but this is like a game to them. Because that's why, because remember, Bullseye after he basically beats Hawkeye, after he shoves the meat hook through him.
Yeah.
That would have been it. He could have killed him, but instead he takes him to the hospital because he wants to keep playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Bullseye knows it, too. That's how I know Bullseye. Bullseye knows it's a game as well. They're both playing this game. Bullseye's like, I know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to go back, he's getting all kinds of crazy shit planned out, and wait for me to come get him. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets bored, he's going to say, fuck it, and come to me.
Well, I mean, they were both part of the Weapon X program, right? They've known each other a long time.
Yeah.
So it kind of actually makes you wonder if Bullseye is almost as insane as Deadpool.
Yeah, I mean, Bullseye enjoys...
He enjoys the killing.
Yeah, he enjoys the murder.
I think Deadpool enjoys the fight, and Hawkeye enjoys the murder. Well, Bullseye, sorry.
Yeah, Deadpool likes fighting against Hawkeye / Bullseye because they're kind of on equal footing.
Yeah.
And they're both extreme... They don't really have superpowers. I mean, they kind of do, but it's not like he's fighting... It's not like Deadpool's fighting Superman, right?
Yeah.
They have similar... They're both, like, deadly, and they like to do the things they do. But I think what makes it great for Deadpool is Deadpool has, like, a bit of a... He has some morals, right? So he can fight against Hawkeye, or Bullseye, and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, but Deadpool will suspend his morals, like the pizza guy.
But Deadpool killed the pizza guy because that's his job.
He's hired, too.
Yeah.
And remember, he says he doesn't usually do assassinations.
That's true.
But this guy deserved it. So
yeah,
okay.
To be fair.
I mean, I get the impression that Bullseye wouldn't have killed Deadpool. Because, I mean, he was missing the whole time. He didn't really... He hit him in the head with an arrow, but he also took so long to bring him to the meat grinder that, like, he regenerated. Bullseye must have known that would happen to some degree, so...
And then instead of going after Deadpool himself, he makes the Butcher go after Deadpool.
Yeah, which I think he did because it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, he knows this guy's gonna get murdered.
So I gotta say, I think my favorite single panel was when, what's his name?
Norman Osborn.
Norman Osborn's about ready to give that interview, and he's being a total dick to the reporter chick. And then all of a sudden you get Deadpool on the back with a sign that says, respawn, lol.
Yes.
Because you see him being wacky, and it's funny for us, and that's like, that's Daniel Way, the writer's sense of humor coming out a bit. And us, you know, reading this and being funny, but there's not a whole lot of times when you actually see what Deadpool thinks is funny. You know, you get like some of the stuff, like the meat suit, he thinks is funny, but also it's kind of practical. But like, he could have written anything on that sign that he thought would be entertaining. And I love that he chose Respawn. Because it shows that life for him is like a video game. That's all it is. That's how he's perceiving it. Because when he dies, he will just regenerate and respawn. So all that stupid crap that you do to your characters in video games, like jump off cliffs just to see if it's a cliff that has like a ground below it or if you're just going to die. Whatever. Fuck it. You respawn. So did you have a favorite panel, David, that we didn't mention yet?
Well, like Jen, I really enjoyed the meat suit part. I don't know. The monster truck thing's fun, too, because there's never enough monster trucks in comics.
Oh, yeah, and what is
comics?
The license plate system,
too. Oh, this
too.
Is Truckfoot.
Truckfoot. I love his warehouse full of crap, too. The box that just says Barracuda on it.
Yeah, what's in that box? Is it an actual fish? Is he going to shoot a fish at somebody? Maybe he has a bazooka that shoots fish out of it.
I like to think it's multiple fish.
Yeah, it's like a Barracuda cannon. The scene where they're like having a shared memory somehow.
Yeah, that stuff was kind of weird. The kid stuff, like elementary school.
Yeah, I don't think they actually went to school together necessarily.
No,
I think
they specified they didn't, but.
Oh, right, because there's the part where they.
They name different
teachers.
Elementary
schools.
Yeah, it starts in that moment where one of them says, "Damn, you misses that." And then one goes, "I have someone just like that."
Yeah.
I've got a person I want to kill too.
I kind of wonder is it a shared hallucination or is it Deadpool's?
Well, it's interesting, right, because we, in issue 12 opens with it, I believe, and then when it goes back to reality, it's Deadpool, it's a Bullseye waking up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because in issue 11, we get little bits of them individually, and their own memories of elementary school. there's gonna say that little that mask that little Deadpool has is cool. He looks cool in it, even as a little Deadpool.
Yeah, I don't know. This just it's this has got a lot of good scenes in it. I love that Deadpool dodges the RPG by
having it go
through the windows.
And then I love at the end of it, Hawkeye. Damn, I gotta admit, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick. Like, that's how you know it's a game for them. They give each other props. Right? And then Deadpool, like, gives him props. Like, you know, that thing with the arrow through the hair was actually pretty funny.
Man, I really enjoyed their relationship. Like, the scene with the chainsaw, where Deadpool has the chainsaw and he's coming up to Bullseye. And you see, like, little child Bullseye, like, no, please don't. And then Deadpool's like, ah, maybe. And then I love how Bullseye buys off Deadpool.
Yeah, you like the resolution?
That's such a good ending for this. Because it's like, what better way to get rid of a mercenary? You just pay him more.
Yeah.
Actually, in this case, Bullseye was the mercenary, but...
Well, I mean, there's like... And it's a good resolution because sometimes you'll get the thing where, like, the mercenary says, oh, no, I've got a job to do and I'm hired to the job and I don't care how much you offer me. I have to keep my professionalism intact. Fucking Deadpool wouldn't give a shit about that. Yeah. Of all the people who wouldn't give a shit about that, it'd be Deadpool.
I like how Deadpool finally gets his money, too, because in, what is it, the end of Secret Invasion, we see him never get the money from saving the, like, trophy wife. So he's poor at the end, too, because he spent all of his money preparing for that mission, and he's angry. He finally gets what he wants. He gets all this money, and then he's so bored.
Yeah. He's so bored, he shoots himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what's great is the next issue in this run is what he ends up spending his money, and he buys a ship. Because he wants to be a pirate, and Hydra Bob's his first mate. And...
Oh. I love it.
He just he's just like a bored guy, and if he's not on missions, he tries to think of things to do. After the pirate ship thing, he decides he wants to be a superhero, so he tries to join the X-Men.
Those issues are hilarious. I remember those.
It's just good times all around. Deadpool's interesting in Marvel's lineup, right? Because he was originally a villain, as far as I know, like for Cable and the New Mutants. And now he's like their... funny guy.
Well, he fills a role that everybody seems to think is prominent in comics, that are they a hero, are they a villain? You know, like, every universe...
Like the anti-hero type person?
Yeah, like the one, or like Emma Frost, right? Even, like, today, I think there's this thing in the comics, like, oh, remember when she was evil? She's not, you know, she's not all good like the rest of us who are really good. She's only playing good. No, or is she actually good? You know, there's like that, are they really good? Are they playing good? Are they really evil? Are they playing evil? You know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, most of the time, that's all bullshit. Emma Frost is good. It's just that these other characters have been wishy-washy for the last 20 years and mistrustful.
Yeah, there's not many. Like it used to be Wolverine in Marvel, right?
Yeah.
And he's not anymore. He's clearly a hero. I mean, he's runs a school for teenagers now, right?
Yeah.
And in DC, I think the only real one is Lobo, right? Because he kind of goes back and forth. Sometimes he's friends with Superman. Sometimes they fight. Nobody really likes him.
Yeah, but I mean, the other one.
But he's really funny, right?
Yeah, the other ones I'm thinking of are like Deadpool, or not Deadpool, not Deathstroke. What's the other one? Deadshot.
Right, Deadshot.
Like, most of the Secret Six are kind of like, you don't know this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
But if you can just... All it comes down to is figuring out what their motives are. And as soon as you know their motives, you know whether or not they're actually being good. It's not that hard as a reader to piece together what's going on there. But I think Deadpool feels a unique situation that he could really kind of go either way, just depending on how he feels.
Yeah, I mean, he does bad things. Like, he murdered that pizza kid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, he defeated Hawkeye, Bullseye, who's clearly a villain.
Yeah.
So in that way, he did something heroic, right? But then at the same time, he gets bored and decides to become a pirate. That's not really a good thing to do.
Yeah. And then, I mean, if he were really a good guy, he wouldn't let Hawkeye just buy him off. Like, if he were X-Men good guy,
Yeah.
He'd arrest him.
He'd arrest him and take him into the police office and be like, this is the bad guy. He tried to murder me.
I think that's actually something that detracts from Deadpool's character. It's like he's just willy-nilly about everything. I can't believe I said willy-nilly. he doesn't really have one side or the other that he kind of swings to. He's really neutral on the scale of things, and he just kind of follows the money or his whims.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's so whimsical makes it seem like he's not so much a character as just an extension of what the writers want him to be that day. Because it'd be, I don't know, I'd be fine with him being kind of an inverse of Wolverine, where usually he does bad things, but sometimes he does a good thing. That seems reasonable, whereas, you know, Wolverine usually does good things and then sometimes does a bad thing. But I don't know. And I mean, I know Deadpool is kind of held up against Wolverine in a lot of comparisons, just like he's held up against Spider-Man in a lot of comparisons, because they're kind of the uber-popular characters, yeah. Right? Deadpool had so many titles at one point.
4 or 5.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, I just feel like he's not a deep enough character.
But, you're right, I mean, he's interesting in that he's not a deep character, but he's still very enthralling to read, you know? Like, you hear, oh, he wants to go off and be a pirate. And I'm like, I want to read that. That sounds fun and interesting.
I mean, it sounds fun, but I feel like there's also no staying power. It's kind of like, as we mentioned before, The Tick. It's amusing, but then it's like, do you really remember everything that happened? Or does it matter to you, Verge?
Well, I think that's also the secret to why, well, not secret, but I think that's the reason why Deadpool was so popular for so long, is because Deadpool came out and was wacky and fun and amusing to read. And a time where it was all gritty and grim and dark comics, you know? Like, people like to read happy things, too. You don't have to have nothing but serious rapey comics.
I'm not sure if the serious rapey comics.
I'm sorry, whenever I think of serious, gritty comics, I think of fucking Identity Crisis, and I hate that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in my mind, I identify serious, gritty, trying too hard comics with rape.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's a little bit of a strong association to draw, but
I feel like Deadpool is, oh man, I just lost my train of thought in that one. I had feels about Deadpool.
So many feels for the Deadpool.
I don't know.
No.
I lost it.
So what did you guys think of the art? I know we probably talked about it last time.
Yeah, this is the same creative team as before. What I really appreciate about this art team is how expressive they make Deadpool, despite the fact that he's wearing a mask that covers his face completely. Even his eyes are expressive, and they're just little circles. Like, if you look at the cover of number 12, he's got a big smile on his face and kind of mischievous-looking eyes. And he's conveying the same emotion as Hawkeye, who you can see more than half of his face. And you can see his eyes through his mask. And so you can see all of his emotion and intent on his face, but Deadpool you might not necessarily be able to, but the art team takes the time to do it, and it adds to the fun and the comedy of it.
I'm gonna say something really weird, and it's, I feel like Deadpool is drawn really feminine, because when you see him without his suit, which we have in Secret Invasion, he's, you know, standard comic book burly, you know, lots of muscles, big pecs, blah blah blah. When he's in his suit, I mean, he's still super muscled because it is a comic book, but he's fairly svelte compared to most men we see in comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's interesting because I think of him more like, you know how Wonder Woman is muscled? She's still, like, super strong.
Yeah.
I think of him more like that than I think of, like, Wolverine or Cyclops, where they're all, like, biceps and pecs and everything. And that strikes me as so odd because you wouldn't expect a male comic book character in spandex to be more, I guess, agile looking, or, you know, slimmer looking in terms of muscle tone.
You know what? I hadn't noticed it at all, but now that you mention it, it's a lot of his posing, too, like the way he's posed throughout the comic is the way they would typically draw a female character. And I think that's why he, when, like, you read the, was it 6 and 7 with Tiger Shark? That's why he looks like the underdog, I think. It's because Tiger Shark is drawn super fucking masculine. Like, aside from being huge, all of his poses are leaning forward and burly, and like all of his poses are super masculine. And Deadpool, even though you know could probably kill Tiger Shark, just always has that more demeaning, not demeaning, not diminutive, the more, what's the word? Not dominant. Suppressed? I don't know. he seems to keep the weaker pose of the two.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I'm actually looking at the cover of issue 6 now, and he actually has, like, a variation of the traditional, like, woman with legs spread pointing guns at you. Guns and crotch at you. And it's like, I wonder if this is purposeful, like, as an overturning of comic book tropes, or if it was just accidental. Kind of makes you wonder.
Of course, the cover of Marvel number 7 is a parody of... Or the cover of Deadpool number 7 is a parody of the X-Men cover. Yeah. And they're all wanted in the future.
Yeah, Days of the Future
Past. Hydra Bob is...
Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde.
And Deadpool's Wolverine.
Deadpool's Wolverine. I didn't pick that up before, but that's awesome. But yeah, even like the cover of number 12, he's kind of leaning back a bit.
Well, and like Bullseye looks bigger than him. Like,
yeah.
You can't see Bullseye's muscles as much, at least not his pectorals, but he just seems bigger. Yeah.
Boom! That thing is massive!
Yeah, this one too, if you look at his, the way, this issue number 10, the way his leg is kicked out is kind of feminine.
All we're missing is like the full butt shot, you know?
See, but there's butt shots
there's
in here.
There's plenty of butt shots.
Of Deadpool, yeah.
You just weren't looking hard enough. I found quite a few.
We were so quick to be like, yep, there's butt shots. This tells you what Andy and I look for in comics.
Beefcake.
How do I use that word? It's such a creepy word.
I think it's done purposely, not sort of in the overturning tropes kind of way, but I think the posing like that is intentional because it's disarming. You know, you look at Deadpool and you know how deadly he is because you've seen him fight. But when you look at him in these poses, you're less intimidated. You know, like whenever I see Tiger Shark, I think, oh, fuck, that guy's going to beat shit up. And then I remember it's just a giant fish. You know, but yeah. Like Deadpool's straight up trained, hardcore, badass mercenary. But I never get that, oh, fuck thing when I look at him. That's really interesting.
Yeah, he does have, wow. He has, like Black Widow-esque buttocks.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that one of him pointing in the warehouse? That's the one, yeah. That's exactly what I'm
here, there's one right here next to the Miami Vice Tiger Shark. There's this one right here.
Yeah, one of him going into the bathroom.
And it's really weird, too, because he is very muscled. Like, it's shown. Yet he doesn't seem as imposingly male.
See, as I think you could go through these 5 issues of comics, put in tits, and then you have Lady Deadpool.
I find that...
Well, that's what she is. If you've seen Lady Deadpool, it's Deadpool with boobs and a blonde ponytail.
Yeah. You probably wouldn't need to redraw these comics any more than adding boobs.
I find it super disturbing that, like, you can qualify this sort of thing, like, it's male, it's female by pose and muscle tone. It's like...
But,
that's,
I mean,
an interesting thing about comics.
Yeah, that's the way comics have been drawn for the last how many years.
Yeah.
You don't get that many female characters, no matter how strong they are, taking the dominant, intimidating pose. Very rarely. I think you just get Batwoman does it sometimes. Power Girl does it, depending on the artist.
Batwoman does it, especially when it's drawn by J.H. Williams III.
Yeah.
And then you do get the like strong woman but crotch shot thing going on quite a bit.
Yes, you see that often in Wonder Woman. Strong warrior woman fights over. All right, boobs and crops, let's go. Time for the cheesecake.
Huh, that's so odd.
But I know. The other thing about this art is I really like issues 10, 11, and 12 with the action. You actually get like a good flow of action, and it's super important for a comic like this where it's all about the fight between these two. Because if the action, if the art and the panel motion was not up to snuff, it would just die. It would fall flat, no matter how entertaining it was.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, too, about these two characters fighting is they're not, like, shooting laser beams or anything at each other, so it's... I think it's a little bit more challenging, because with...
It's really visceral. You have to show every part of it. Like you said, with a laser beam, there's tons of suspended disbelief, so you can take extra leaps from one page to the next, but we all presumably know a little bit how rocket launchers work from Team Fortress 2.
Yes, that's exactly it.
I think We mentioned the covers just a little bit, but we should talk about them because they're really good.
Yeah.
Especially, I think 10, 11, 12 have really strong ones. I don't know. I love the Deadpool.
Like, full of arrows.
Yeah, full of arrows. He has the apple on his head. He's pointing to it, and he's like, "You missed."
You know, he's got like 5 or 6 arrows in him.
He's got more than. There's way more than that.
Yeah. And he's even got one like in his head. So obviously, Bullseye got really close.
I like the number 12 where they're exchanging gifts.
That's funny.
I mean, there's it's all the, you know, good art stuff, blah, 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 the looks on their faces, that's all great. My favorite part is the two little tags that they have on top of the gifts. It says, "Sorry, H," and he's drawn a little picture of himself.
Yeah.
And then I love Deadpool's BFF question mark.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, man. That cover always makes me think of, the SNL Dick in a Box. I mean, you would not be surprised if that's, like, what happened with these two guys. Like, seriously.
Have you been shipping?
No. I'm not one of those. So, I think a thing that we should bring up is the way that Deadpool's internal, I don't know, I guess it's a dialogue?
Trialogue.
Well,
it's an internal dialogue and an external voice. And his external voice will talk to the two internal voices occasionally.
But it's interesting how you actually see each voice have a specific role after he gets horribly brain damaged.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his brain is trying to reboot, and he seems to have, like, this instinctual voice. And I can't remember, is it the one in the white text box?
I think the white text box is the plainy voice.
Oh, it's the yellow text box that tells him things like, "You're in mortal danger," or, oh, it's a haiku, "In mortal danger, in shadows, a psychopath, step into the light." But it's stuff that he must know, like, instinctually, right?
Yeah, even though it comes out of
the secret. Like, when he's after Tiger Shark and Hydra Bob get into the water, and Deadpool's up on the surface by himself in issue number 7... the yellow voice says, "What are you doing? Or what are we doing? Why aren't we running away?" But then the white voice says, "And why aren't we rescuing Bob?" So I think you're right, the yellow voice is kind of his fight or flight, like, self-preservation voice, and the white one is kind of his emotional voice.
Yeah, which is kind of odd, because when he gets brain damaged, the white voice just starts saying things like, "Banana-na-na-na-na-na-na." Right? So, I mean, it seems like what makes him a really good fighter is that instinctual voice. And then also the yellow word bubbles, because he talks out loud to himself.
And that's a third voice. That's not either one of those two.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, because he has like these two, I don't know, is it like...
Well, I think he has his id, which is the yellow voice, mm-hmm. which is, you know, in that scene, self-preservation, about me, get the fuck out of here, we should run, why aren't we running, let's run. And then the white voice is sort of the superego, "But Bob, we must say Bob." And then...
So he's the ego in this case?
Yeah, and Deadpool is the medium between the two.
Did we just do a Freudian analysis of Deadpool?
Oh, I can get better than that. when he's rebooting his brain, I actually really like that bit, because from a psychology neuroscience standpoint, Deadpool would be the best patient ever to have, because most of what we've learned up until fMRI machines about how the brain works, we've learned by people getting hit in the head by 2x4s and then figuring out what stopped working.
Huh.
Right? Like, so we know where the language centers are in the brain because people got hit in the side of the head with a 2x4 and then they couldn't form sentences properly. And we figured out a pattern. Everybody that gets hit in the head with a 2x4 here fucks up language this way. And everybody gets hit with a 2x4 here fixes it up a different way. So we know what parts of language are in what parts of the brain. So Deadpool would be awesome. You just hit him with a 2x4, see what fucks up,
and then like, wait an hour, back.
Wait an hour, and try again.
It's kind of weird because his, his truly analytical self is the one that speaks out loud. He, that's where he's actually thinking, but his brain doesn't think. It reacts. The character, the voice bubbles, think.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Well, it makes sense, too, because the voice is the only one that has any agency. The two voices inside, I mean, they can say all they want.
You need to watch out, or it's going to start spouting like Lacanian flim-flam.
Oh god, Lacan. No. I will never go there. Ever.
But I mean, it's really interesting that the authors took such... I mean, obviously, it's like they're writing three characters. But they take such notice of it, and they work so carefully with it to make it stable the whole way through. Whereas we have seen places where you have the narrative box and then the spoken voice and then the extra narrative box, and you're like, where does this come from? And they, like, it doesn't make any sense who's saying what. We've seen that specifically with, like, Neil Adams writing, unfortunately.
Whenever we get a bad example of something, it always goes back to Batman Odyssey.
Hey, that comic is awesome. 5 stars.
Yeah. It's the consistency that makes it work. I mean, if it were like that with one comic or one issue, but then not with another, it's that that white box is always that more moral voice, and the yellow box is always the more self-preservation about me kind of.
Yeah, and I don't. It's kind of interesting because you wonder if you took any of them away, would he still be as good as a mercenary, or do they need to all function together, the three of them, to make him Deadpool and make him an effective character?
I'd say he's all of them. Well, he certainly wouldn't be as fun to read.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, that scene with the warehouse, right? Okay, all, like, the bazookas, that was the yellow text box inside. It was like, let's blow shit up as big as we can. The white text box is the one that thought of a plan and how to maneuver things so that a barracuda would matter. Like, that white text box is the one that makes plans. And then all the stuff in between, like the monster truck, that's actually Deadpool. Actually, I'm certain the monster truck is Deadpool.
Yeah, it's gotta be. I kind of like the white text box in that it's not just, you know, kindness. It's also the things that satisfy him on, like, as you said, an emotional level. Not just saving Bob, but also like, oh, we can use barracudas here. Like, that's awesome. And you know how everyone has, like, the awesome button? It's like the thing they like that they really like. Well, I guess that's the white box for him that decides those things.
So we should talk about... There was the one thing that we had a concern with last week, and that was Deadpool's depth as a character. Right? Like, we talked about how there was good depth in the complexity between his darkness inside and his want to be good kind of thing. Like, when he straight up murdered the guys that murdered the cops. Like, yeah, the cops didn't deserve to die, but you didn't have to, like, just murder 8 of them in cold blood. And so we were wondering if, like, Deadpool had sustaining power as a character, or if it was just the wackiness of the plot and the writing, the spectacle of the story that kept us reading. So in this one, did we keep reading it and enjoy it because we like Deadpool and his interactions with the other characters in the world? Or did we like it because, oh, fuck, cool, Tiger Shark?
I think the second, it was more reactionary for me. I didn't see as much character depth in Deadpool here. I mean, he does some interesting things. Like, you see that grim, dark, like, I'm just going to kill a pizza boy for $500 off Craigslist.
But even then, they make it a joke.
Yeah, it's just very goofy, whereas you got to see him display morality in Secret Invasion. I mean, he was trying to stop the Skrulls, right? It was kind of like his big thing. Here, it's kind of, he's not even immoral, he's amoral. And that, I think, is a little less interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Jen. I think we get like, a flash of it in Bob. Because despite how much Bob seems to annoy Deadpool, I think there's genuine concern there.
Yeah.
Like, Deadpool doesn't want him to die. He's like his buddy, right? So he protects him from Tiger Shark, and the white voice says, shouldn't we save him? Bob can't breathe underwater, right? And so we get it a little bit, but then at the same time we see his, in that same, like, little capsule in the story, we see his lack of morals when he shoots Bob in the hand. Like, he could have smacked him in the back of the head or something, but he shoots him, even if it is just through the hand. So,
because, I mean, Deadpool's doing it in retribution for Bob pointing a gun at him, right? But honest to God, if Bob would have pulled the trigger, Deadpool would have just been out cold for 6 hours and come back alive. But Bob's never getting that hand back. Ever.
Well, you can get a fairly large hole in your palm.
And yeah, but, yeah.
I guess it depends on what Deadpool used to shoot him, probably.
And how quickly he got him back to a hospital.
Yeah.
Bob has both hands later in the series.
No, I'm not saying his hand got blown off, but like that's... It's not like it's going to regrow within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, he's not Deadpool, so... He doesn't have a healing factor.
He won't be able to type for like the next 2 months.
So yeah, I think... I mean, I agree. This is still a very reactionary, plot-driven sort of comic. I don't think it's a huge negative because it's really smart, and it seems like Daniel Way has no shortage of ideas on what to do with this character. Like, that's the danger, right? If you don't have a developed, interesting character and it's all plot-driven, you're going to run out of stuff to do with him eventually. But fuck, with Deadpool, you could do anything. Make him a pirate. Have him join the X-Men. Who gives a shit? Yeah. Throw him in any situation. And so I think it is wacky, like plot and spectacle, but I think it's sustaining. I mean, I want to keep reading. I want to read the mercenary stuff with the pirates.
I think I'd read it. I don't know if I'd necessarily find it terribly memorable. I think it's more, for me, in the moment reading. Like, I enjoy it and I'm reading it now, but a month later I'll be like, I can't remember what Deadpool did at this point in time.
You know what this is? This is like the beach reading of comic books.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is.
It's the Fifty Shades of Grey.
No, comics. That's porno comics. That's like Grimm Fairy Tales, Witchblade,
Vampirella,
Stripperella. That stuff is the 50 Shades of Grey comics. This is like the Michael Crichton of comics. Not much thinking. It's really fun to read. Super plot driven. Finish it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. So we ready to rate it now?
Yeah.
All right. David, you go first. You've been quiet lately.
Yeah, okay, so... Thanks. Just tell her... People might not have noticed. Anyways, I'm going to give this... I'll give this a 3. It's definitely funny and satisfying, and the art's great, and Deadpool's a wacky character, but... And interesting things happen in this comic, but I think in general, it's kind of more of the same of what we saw in Secret Invasion, which... Not isn't necessarily a bad thing, especially if this is what you like. If you enjoy Deadpool, then you're gonna like this comic a lot. If you want to see something fresh and new and stuff like that in a Deadpool comic, you probably won't be that satisfied with this. But if you just want to laugh and have a good time, like Andy said, it's beach reading, right? This is a good comic. I mean, three's a pretty good score.
Yeah,
it's above average. And I think the art helps a lot. We didn't talk too... I mean, we talked about the art, but it's really good and consistent.
Yeah.
And the colors are bright, and it's just a fun... It's a fun read, but...
And they know just when to give you little winks to make you smile and laugh.
Yeah.
Like the Vice City Tiger Shark.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little one-page thing, but it clings to my brain because it's a really good panel.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.
All right. Jen, you want to go next?
I'm going to also say 3. I think that it was above average. I think that Secret Invasion painted us a better portrait of Deadpool as a character. And I wouldn't even say this is so much plot-driven as, like, event-driven. Because it doesn't seem like there's much of a thread connecting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I kind of like it when the wackiness all resolves into one idea. Which it didn't quite do here, but there were some really fun things. Like, the meat suit is super memorable. Like, that's a really, like, fun thing if you're talking about Deadpool with someone. You can always be like, oh yeah, and the scene with the meat suit, that was so good. I liked the resolution, because it's so unorthodox. Like, the assassin pays off the target in order to, like, get away from him. That's pretty good. And... I don't know, I think it had some moments of really good dialogue writing, some fun character interaction, but... Oh, and the art was definitely, like, just nice to look at.
Yeah.
It was pleasant, we'll put it that way. But it didn't have anything that, like, struck me as, you know, super memorable or magical or important.
Yeah. I agree. I'm going to give this a 2.5 that I love. Like, this for me is like, I'm trying to think of a crappy movie that I love. Like, Fast and the Furious. That's a horrible, horrible movie franchise. Those are all terrible movies. There's no, like, deep plot anything, deep character anything. But, man, is it some good car racing porn. And I love watching that. What are you giving me this look for?
They're not all horrible, horrible movies. They're all they're varying levels of horrible.
A lot of them are pretty bad. Tokyo Drift being the worst, and conversely, one of the ones I like the most.
Okay. Nice save there, because...
No, wait, what's the one with the... Fuck, what is his name? Is it Fast and Furious 2?
With Tyrese?
Yes, Tyrese.
Yes, that's the worst one.
I love that one so much.
No, that one's the worst one.
No, because he says Brian so accusatorily every single time he says it. It's great. It's like if you're friends with a guy that you hate, but you love.
That's the worst
one. I love it. They're all bad and they're all great. And this is... I feel the same way about this.
Okay.
There's no character here. The plot doesn't congeal into something. Like, I get the feeling reading issue 12 that they never had the ending of this fight mapped out. Like, they're like, let's have Bullseye and Deadpool fight. And so they throw them into the fight. And they're like, okay, we don't know how to resolve this yet. Let's throw in another issue of them fighting. Okay, we're done with them fighting. How are we going to end this? Okay,
here. So what you're saying is...
Like, this is right at month to
this
month.
This is just like Lost.
No, because Lost... Because even at the end, Lost tried to pull something out of their ass that made it seem like it all was on purpose. But here, they're just like, fuck it, he writes him off. I'm done. We're running out of pages. Pay him. Like, but I love it. As crappy as it is in all those respects, it's still smartly drawn and smartly written and very fun to read.
Okay.
So it's a 2.5.
Okay. I was going to ask you because you hadn't said the number at all yet.
It's a 2.5 that I love.
Okay.
So that's what it is. So next week, we're going to wrap up the Deadpool series with a mini-series called Wade Wilson's War. Written by Dwayne Swizzle Sticks.
I don't think his last name is Swizzle Sticks, Andy.
God, I don't know. We'll try to figure it out before next week. But it's Dwayne something. It's from...
Seems so disrespectful. No. Is it Dwayne Swarzynski or something like that?
Neither one of you guys looked it up either. Just saying.
It's right here. It's Dwayne Swarzynski.
Swarzynski?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
No.
Are you being disrespectful?
At least I didn't call him Swizzle Sticks.
But it's a cool nickname.
Okay, I can't.
I wouldn't mind people calling me Swizzle Sticks. Well, it's a little pretty weird.
I'm going to call you Swizzle Sticks from now on.
Oh, damn it. But anyway, it's a 4-issue mini from 2010. That's what we're reading next week. That's going to wrap up our Deadpool arc. And then at the end of next week's episode, we're going to tell you what we're planning on doing for our two, like, monumental episodes coming up. We've got our 100th issue coming up, 100th episode coming up, because this is number 97, so we're getting really fucking close. And then right after that, we got the 2-year anniversary episode. So at the end of next week, we're going to tell all you guys what's coming up there. And in case you lose track of what number we're on or what's coming up, you can always get back and find that again on our website, which is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter,
which is @APSupercast, so twitter.com/APSupercast.
Word, and you can always email us as well.
Which is atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
And you can like us on Facebook, and I finally got around to getting us our own Facebook. So it's facebook.com/APSupercast, just like the Twitters, APSupercast.
All the social networks.
All the social networks. We're on all two of them. No others exist. We should get a Pinterest. I have no idea what we put on it, but I hear it's hip.
Well, I actually link the episodes on my Tumblr.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your Tumblr?
It's tumblr.com/CPTMonty.
Bam. So you can follow us there.
And you can see what other random things I post on Tumblr, which mostly have to do with comics, so...
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast, you'd probably be interested, but then I post other wacky things, too.
Cross-promotion.
Yeah, like, you could check out the Call Me Maybe Batman parody on my Tumblr.
Which
if you'd
is
like.
Fucking great. Okay. And as always, please subscribe on iTunes because then we know that you're listening. Because otherwise, you might just be bluffing. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Australia is the only continent without an active volcano.
Sucks to be Australia.